Welcome to The Joe Show. Host Joe Williams takes us on deep dives into European literary communities.
Many of the ideas which went on to form the Western musical theoretical framework originated in Greek antiquity, with Pythagoras and his search for logic and pattern in sound, convinced that harmony in sound connected us to the divine and reflected the inherent harmony of a perfectly balanced and structured universe. Pythagoras' conclusions went on to inform Western notions of musical harmony and ultimately formed a basis of the framework in which centuries of music have been composed. A less well-known aspect of Greece's musical heritage, however, is a musical form that emerged in the early 20th century in Greece's coastal cities, where musical traditions brought to Greece by refugees from Asia Minor mingled with indigenous musical forms and instrumentation to produce a music which reflected the often harsh reality of daily life in these communities. That music is called trebetiko. A rich cultural legacy which documents and aestheticizes the struggles of working-class Greeks and newly arrived migrants to Greek's port cities. I knew little about Rebetiko beyond what I had learned from a dusty old BBC documentary on the subject, narrated by Anthony Quinn. I was aware that Rebetiko had fascinating contextual history and that it had enjoyed a so-called golden age in the mid-20th century. But what's the current condition of the form? Is there any will to preserve Rebetiko, and are contemporary audiences in Greece still relating to this music in a meaningful way? After doing some research, I learned that there were in fact a whole host of younger players working within the idiom of Rebetiko, reciting and reinterpreting classics of the genre to appeal to modern sensibilities. Despina Pasatha is one of them. I caught up with her and asked her how she first came to Rebetiko.
I was born and raised in Limassol, Cyprus. And when I went for studies in 2010, I had no clue what Rebetiko was. Then I first heard Rebetiko. And I felt that I had a magical connection happened, especially when I heard Rose Eskenazi's voice, which we can analyze later on. It was a Rebetiko singer of that time. Studied my bachelor's and my master's degree at the Department of Music, Science and Art of the University of Macedonia in Thessaloniki, and specialized in the traditional singing technique and interpretation. My journey started in my studies when I heard Rebetiko was then. And on my master's degree, I had the feeling that I need to study Rose Eskenazi because I had a magical connection when I first heard her voice, and I really wanted to understand what was her technique and interpretation. I'm still studying her voice. It's an endless world, and I'm still studying this and on my PhD.
Thank you. So that's fascinating to know that it was something that you arrived at when you started your studies then.
Yes, I didn't know about that world. I didn't have a Rebetiko hearings. My family wasn't a fan of that. It happened later on.
Interesting. Turning then to Rebetiko itself, the tradition, what did you learn then when you first heard Rebetiko? What did you learn about its origins, where it came from, this music that you were hearing for the first time? How did you learn more about it and its origins?
In my studies, this world unfolded in front of me, so I started reading some books and asking also my teachers about that. Rebetiko actually is the name of a musical genre that first appeared at the end of the 19th century. And this genre originates from Greek tradition, and the first Rebetiko hearings began to be noted in the prisons of Athens in 34. Also, the word rebetiko was found on labels of records that have been recorded in Smyrna and Istanbul from 1900 to 1912. The thing is that after the destruction of Smyrna in 1922, a huge number of refugees from Asia Minor arrived at the Greek port, and Smyrna's musicians brought with them their morals, customs, and their music and its characteristics, of course. So what happened then is that the musical mixture has commenced, and the musicians from Smyrna started collaborating with Greek musicians as well as meeting again with Smyrnian musicians.
So what it sounds like you're describing is this was the music of migrant communities, marginalized from society, people on the fringes, on the lower classes of society. And that's something that has parallels in a lot of cultures, a lot of societies, that people, blues music in America and fado music in Portugal, there's a lot of people who are marginalized and outcast from society who have very rich cultural and musical traditions, which we find very compelling. So how then can we define, as opposed to other forms then, of Greek music? Is all Greek traditional, working class traditional music, is all of that rebetiko, or is rebetiko something we could define more narrowly, more concretely?
This is a great question. It's essentially the music of the Greek urban working class, and took this form specifically from 22 onwards. So before 1922, as it was still forming, his identity was not solid and clear yet. And this is something that has happened to all kinds of music, where as they were created, they did not have the name or specific musical or characteristics in terms of lyrics. So something that defines rebetiko and distinguishes it from other forms of traditional music are the following three periods of rebetiko. Historically, the first period starts in 1922 till 1932, which is the era that is dominated by elements from the music. So the music bands are comprised of instruments from Smyrna, such as oud, kanun, santur, violin, and lyra. And during this period, the subject matter of rebetika lyrics includes stories probably based on real events and the daily life of that time. For example, there's a large number of love songs, as well as a lot of songs that talk about topics such as life in prison, drugs and alcohol, gamblers, knife fights between men, or stories of women who had a bohemian approach to their way of life, is the first period. The second period starts in 1932 till 1942 and is called the classical period. So around that time, bouzouki made its debut. The bands are now comprised of three strings bouzouki, guitar, and baglama, which is a smaller version of three string bouzouki. So on that time, the first recordings of the composer and bouzouki player Marcos Vambakaris in 1932, while in the summer of 1934, the first rebetiko band appeared under the name the famous Quarter of Piraeus, and the group was consisted by Marcos Vambakaris, Anestis Delias, Yorgos Batis, and Stratos Paiumgis. This band then made a great number of recordings on that period, and the last one is in 1942 till 1952 was the era of widespread and dissemination and the acceptance of rebetiko. So then Western elements in music mixed with Eastern music characteristics that were present back in the first and second period, and great musicians such as Vasilis Tsitsanis created their careers over this period. And also something that really important is that the songs of this period become more, let's say, virtuoso, and the four string bouzouki of Manolis Chiodis also makes its debut, because before we had the three-stringed bouzouki, and now in that period makes its great appearance for string bouzouki. And lastly, electric sounds begins gradually being introduced. So these three periods are really important.
Listening to you speak, I wanted to ask you a different question. Was, as you talked about how the music became slightly more virtuosic later in its development, was there any kind of like professionalization of musicianship, of musicians? Were the musicians becoming more professional? Was it becoming an occupation? Because my intuition might be that in that first stage of rebetika development, a lot of the musicians may have been people playing for friends and family after work, so on and so forth, in the tabernas and places like this. And would we have seen a kind of greater professionalization, a professional musician class emerging?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Of course, because as I mentioned before, for example, Manolis Chiodis was one of the musicians that had musical studies behind of him. He also knew how to play the guitar, so he was inspired by the guitar, and he created the fourth string bouzouki. So this knowledge helped him to, the musical knowledge helped him to be more wide, and all the music generally had an evolution musically, and more people started to study music before, so they could be better and be professional on this work.
So in terms of variations then of libretico, would there have been distinct stylistic variations across region? Were there different ethnicities or different classes or different subcategories of libretico musicians who were each interpreting libretico in a slightly different way? Or was it quite uniform in terms of its style across region, ethnicity, generation, and so on?
It's a genre that I said before, is a genre of evident multicultural art. A great blending started happening from 22. So the rebetika over the years that followed took the form we know today. So based on the three periods that we mentioned before, variations have been documented, as well as its overall evolution from 1922 until today. So today, rebetiko remains the center of many young musicians' studies, but its reinterpretation and reproduction relies greatly on its established musical characteristics and style. We see that some arrangements are also made using elements and interpolations from other existing music genres.
Thank you for talking about the generational aspects then of libretika, because my next question was going to be, so how is libretika being kept alive by younger musicians, and how are younger generations of musicians responding to and interpreting libretika? Is it staying static, and are people very respectful of how the older forms of libretika are played and treated, or are people taking some degree of license and artistic freedom to perhaps incorporate new elements and try and kind of keep libretika evolving? Mm-hmm. Or is it more of a purist sort of approach that young people are taking today?
As a musician that belongs to the younger generation of libretika players, I can share my opinion throughout my personal experience so far. So I believe that there is musical bridge between the music of libretika's golden age that connect to the music of younger libretika generation. What I personally connect with this genre of music is the vocal technique and interpretation that singers of the time libretika originated at. So what I do is that I try to decode the way of their singing, because I am blown away by their talent and skills, and maybe apply the technical aspects of that to how I perform and see what happens. And all I can do to achieve this is to work through their recordings in a systematic way that I can decipher or reinterpret and draw conclusions based on my findings, and finally pass this knowledge with enthusiasm to the musicians of today. I had, as I said before, a magical connection with this genre of music when I first heard Rosa Eskenazi voice. So I did all this that I mentioned before, these steps to understand how she works and how she does that, because it was a woman of many, and many singers didn't have, how can I say that, they didn't have vocal knowledge, vocal technique knowledge. I was blown away, and I was like, wow, how she's doing that. It's a great talent, and I really want to learn from her. This is what I can explain my point of view as a musician, that I am a part of this younger generation of rebetiko players.
So there's still this connection between the really old rebetiko from the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, even if in some elements it's kind of evolved and morphed and changed a bit, there's still a significant continuation. And then on that subject then, how do you see the future of rebetiko? Are there a lot of people working with rebetiko currently who share your vision, your aesthetic, your approach to creating rebetiko? Are there even more purist or more experimental approaches to making rebetiko? What can we perhaps see from rebetiko musicians coming in the future, even younger generations?
Okay, you know, what I observed over these recent years is that there's a large number of young people who choose to study rebetiko, professional musicians as well as amateurs who love rebetiko. They create small bands, there are many bands, and reperform some of the classic rebetiko songs. And I feel that this genre has gained a lot of popularity recently, especially since rebetiko entered UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage in 2017. So numerous bands have also tried to make more contemporary arrangements of rebetiko songs. And this is something that is still unfolding. And in these arrangements, there is an inclusion of electronic music, elements of jazz, gypsy, and swing, or even attributes from other cultures and genres. And also the positive thing is that some bands created new rebetiko songs, and even new material under the genre is still being created these days. And I have also made attempts to write rebetiko songs, but I still feel that I need more time to work on them.
Great, thank you. Yeah, so it sounds like it's a very vibrant form, living art form, which is continuing to find new forms of expression, incorporating new elements while retaining a sense of continuity with the past, which is something that I'd say is vital for a lot of folk traditions, is to, in order for something to stay relevant and accessible and alive, it's got to engage with a modern audience while finding a way to maintain connection with its past and continuing to stay a living art form rather than just a way of documenting what was done in the past. And then one last question then. You just mentioned something which made me think of one last question. I just wanted to ask, what is the kind of status then of rebetiko as a kind of emblem of Greek cultural identity? Is it something that a lot of Greek people would feel represents Greek artistic and cultural traditions? What are some popular attitudes towards rebetiko in contemporary Greece?
Many people believe that it's a big part of traditional music, and it has some characteristics from traditional music and some instruments that were used before. So I feel that more and more people want to discover rebetiko, because before was like, okay, rebetiko, good, but we don't know a lot of things about it. And now there's a huge wave of interest on that one. And also because this music before was in the background, now is in the universities and many young people want to study it. I feel that now it's in front of us. Let's discover it. So I think that there is a lot of respect about that kind of music.
Here is Despina singing Ouzo and Hashish.
Για να ξεχάσω.
particularly striking discovery I made during my research is that there is actually an annual Rebetiko Carnival in London, a series of performances over several days for some of the biggest names working in Rebetiko for an international audience. I tracked down two of its organisers, Andrea Antonio and Manolis Tauxis, both Rebetiko musicians themselves. I started by asking them how audiences at the carnival respond to the music.
This is something, a part of our concert that always fascinates me, because it's a style of music that depends heavily on the lyrics and the themes, and having an audience that do not understand the lyrics, how do you communicate it? But still, the music is so powerful and the emotions so intense that it seems that they are affected. We convey something, at least we hope to convey something, and they are very respectful and they're just very open to get influenced by this music, which is very nice to see.
Yes, I will echo what Andrea just said. And the very interesting thing is, it was one of our first concerts. We Plastic Yes Correctly was the group that later on started the Rebetiko Carnival, and we were playing into a care house with people with disabilities, and was a young boy on the wheelchair, and we were start introducing the different rhythms, and of course we went into the most faster cervico tempos and rhythms, and we were showing how normally they should be danced. And this guy went next to the table, he grabbed with his hands the table, and he stand up and he would start moving his legs with his hands. So this was at that point I understood that even though the lyrics and also the life experiences are helping people to relate with this type of music, it's very fascinating that Rebetiko, they have a truth, almost like a raw truth, that can pass to anyone without any restrictions.
What is the nature of that lyrical content? What are the themes which the lyrics quite often address commonly in Rebetiko?
Well, it varies a lot. It can be from drug-related themes, a lot of repertoire, especially the early ones, talked about crimes, living the life of mangas, which is, how do you translate that, Manolis?
A really tough guy. But it has translations, because it's almost related with the ethos of a person as well.
They had to become a tough guy because of the social circumstances and the hardships that it's like his way of surviving. So you've got that. And then lots of the repertoire is about love, in all its kinds. It can be love between a man and woman, or the mother's love, family love. It can be about being nostalgic of home, because a lot of these songs were created by refugees. Yes, lots of themes. Or about festivities, gatherings, all strands of life, really.
Yes, as Andrea mentions, it's almost representing all parts of the life, including death as well. It's really interesting how many songs are talking about death or the afterlife. And the very fascinating thing is that the composer of those songs were normally uneducated people, were going through a really rough patch, almost like their whole their life. But in the lyrics, they could deliver very philosophical matters in a nice and simple way. And the same happens with the music. So, for example, talking about death, there is a very, very beautiful song talking about death. The music is so nice and slightly cheerful, but the lyrics are very dark. And you have this contrast also in some of the themes about drugs. You could have so nice music with lyrics that are talking about tough topics. We need to bear in mind that this music started, it was the music of outcasts and about outcast life and subculture that developed later on, and of course after the 60s, 50s were becoming really popular. But it was due to the themes, especially around drugs. It was really tough for people, even, for example, carrying the bouzouki, the main soloist instrument for this type of music. I remember one of my friends of my father, his father had to broke his son's instrument because he was practicing in early 50s. He was practicing his bouzouki. And when his father saw that, he was scared that his son might end up into the drug use or this kind of life that was associated with the rebetika and the bouzouki.
Lots of cultures will have parallel sort of cultural forms which occupy a position which reflect those same daily experiences and social realities and address kind of universal themes, like you're saying, love and death and the challenges of just surviving on a daily basis. And rebetiko seems to be a kind of Greek manifestation of that phenomenon. So I wanted to ask, what might be some of the more local, more specifically Greek characteristics of rebetiko? What specifically Greek social realities might it reflect? Any specific historical or facts of daily life and the lives of the people who originally made this music?
If we talk about the air that were heavily influenced by the Asia Minor, so very oriental sound, lots of the themes there, because of the time it started to evolve, had to do with being a refugee. So that's one side. And then as it moved to the mainland of Greece, it was also about settling in a new environment and an urban life and adjusting to new customs, new musics even.
We've talked a bit about the kind of themes and the lyrical content here. What about the stylistic characteristics of Greek rebetiko? And we've talked about the influx of refugees from Asia Minor and how there and rebetiko, as I'm getting a sense, maybe was a product of the interaction between the refugees and the musical forms they found where they settled in Greece. So what are some of the stylistic characteristics of rebetiko?
The rebetika that were more influenced by Smyrna, the early rebetika, had a more distinctive oriental sound, heavily modal, especially influenced by Ottoman music and makams. It was more common to hear female voices singing those songs, and usually very high-pitched voices, which one of the explanations is that it was because they tried to compensate for the lack of technology. So the higher, the more they can project the voice. And in that same era, the instrumentation was slightly different. You had violin, you had the clarinet, you could have santur, oud, cellos. And another element as well, which was very strong in that era, was the amanes, which is a lament, a vocal lament. It was improvised and in free tempo.
After these, the early stages, the rebetiko around the period was more rough, not as sophisticated as the early Smyrna. So we were usually from people that they didn't have any music education, were all self-taught, and even some of the instruments were made by them. Back then, the bouzouki was the main soloist instrument, and usually the typical, let's say, orchestra was like the group of people that were playing was like mostly bouzouki and a guitar that it will look like a classic guitar, but with metallic strings, and will have a double role in this orchestra. So we'll keep a clear bass line while playing the chords. And usually you will have the baglamas. Baglamas is almost on the side like a ukulele, but with a bouzouki shape. And it's like extremely high pitch instrument. So with this one, we'll have a rhythmic role in the orchestra. So yes, it's a very big contrast between the rebetiko or the music we're playing in the minor Asia coast, and how this, it looks, at least in my understanding, that's the rebetika evolved, that's to taking some more classic makam and Ottoman style of music and applying it into a Western type of instrument. So because the instrument they are playing a role. So in Turkey, the Ottoman music, they have most of the times, they will not have any frets into the fretboard. So they will have to play even the subnotes of every note. And taking these modes and these makams and applying it into an instrument with it's having frets, and this is the uniqueness, I think, is like this marriage between the Western approach but with the Ottoman origin.
Then let's talk a little bit about rebetika as it exists today. What's your understanding here about the extent to which rebetika players and musicians are engaging with and interacting with and taking influence from other musical forms and vice versa? Is Rebetika having any effect or influence on musicians from other kinds of music?
There were definitely influences from the outside world, from other styles of music. Now, at this time that we're talking now, this new generation of rebetes, in my opinion, two kinds of rebetes. The very faithful rebetes, the orthodox, let's say the purist, which their aim is to reinterpret the music as faithfully as possible, or in a more exaggerated way, let's say, to follow exactly the same fingerings as the composer or the same melismas as the singer, to be as faithful as possible. So that basically they serve the history. There is the pride that comes with that. And on the other side, there are the rebetes that can't do that, but at the same time, they're open to get influence from other styles of music, and they put their own touch to our, let's say, of the 40s, the 30s. So in the case of the second group of people, I believe that in that way, the rebetiko can become again much more personal as it was before, because you add your own touch, your own influences, as people were doing back then. And it's more like a living creature. It's there and it's in evolution. It goes on. But then the question comes, is it still a rebetiko? Where do we draw the line? These things are very subjective. I think as long as it really expresses the person, the times, and it has a certain sound that brings to your mind that flavor or essence of rebetiko, in my opinion, it can be still a form of rebetiko.
Just to add something on that, because it's like a huge topic and like it's always an ongoing discussion between purists and the others. So, and I'm talking just about myself, I'm not representing anyone in this view, but if we aim to keep a tradition alive, it feels that we need to involve and not treat it as a mummy. So most of the times, and my personal view on that is dogmatism it shouldn't be related with music. So I could understand someone that would like to express himself in a certain way, but it was, I remember as a young boy when I was going into the Athens and was playing, they will challenge you. You are not playing this is not the first recording, the version of the song that you're playing. And it was like almost like it was a very clinky approach that, you know, we are the group of people who knows what the truth is, it should be on the rebetiko. But the reality is that we're not living on the rebetiko era. We're living in a world where we are all, now we have an interview over the internet, we have our smartphones. So in order to keep this thing alive, we should involve it, but without crossing the line of the aesthetic, from an aesthetic point of view. I think this is, for me, the thin line. That's regardless if you are a purist or not, if you will do not have any aesthetic restriction or pair of you, the result would just be funny. But yeah, that's my two cents.
Lastly, I'll just ask you briefly on that subject then. So what is the position, the status of Greek rebetiko music in contemporary Greece today to younger Greek generations? Without generalizing too much, what are some attitudes towards rebetiko music that younger people have? Do they respond to it and relate to it, or is it considered something that is no longer relevant?
There is a lot of rebetiko happening in Greece, especially in Athens. Athens is, I would say, the most important scene of rebetiko music, with a younger generation creating really beautiful work. And with that comes very faithful audience that they would go every week in this taverna, those cozy small places, to listen faithfully to their groups. Really enough, this revival of rebetiko happened, and correct me, Manolis, if I'm not right on this, around 2013, after the crisis. It started to return much more in the scene, which again proves that the social circumstances accommodated that. It was a way for them to find some kind of relief. And the themes, because it talked about poverty, hardship, now were again relevant, maybe not in the same level, but, you know, they're much more ready to connect with that.
There is an interesting part because the rebetiko revival had the first wave was between 1960s and 70s, just before the junta. And now saying 2000 for me looks like yesterday. Around 2000 was start raising again, which, as Andrea mentioned, today we, and this is the beautiful thing, that's in the smallest taverna in Athens, it will go. You will hear amazing musicians, extremely talented, playing without any amplification on a corner. And it's the atmosphere that can be created. It's unique because they are not trying to pretend something that they are not. They are singing with their hearts. They have the talent. But also talking about because for me, this type of music, it has like political extent as well. So as we said, it's like the music of house. Today, and saying today, like the last few years, that the people are having some hard time in different levels. You will see that how those are common grounds for people to meet again. I remember just before moving to the UK, one of the last performances that we had on in taverna, we were playing with a friend again in a very small cozy taverna. It was like 20 people into the shop, and they were all singing. Everyone was singing the last song to close the night, and everyone was singing like a big group of people. So this is the type of, this is, we can talk and analyze for hours, but the bottom line is that it will bring everyone together regardless of your backgrounds. It will revive memories and from everyone that they can relate.
Lastly, before we go then, could you tell us more about the Rebetiko Carnival in London?
Great, yes. So our website, rebetikocarnival.co.uk, is going through a restructure, but we are going to have it live soon. People, they can search on Facebook, our Rebetiko Carnival page. So after the COVID mandatory break that we had to take, Rebetiko Carnival is back again on 2023, starting in June, with many workshops, concerts, having guest musicians coming over from Greece, music instrument exhibitions, lectures, and many outreach work that we maintain throughout the year.
Now let's listen to Manolis and some of his friends performing a classic Greek rebetiko track, Why Do You Have to Go Away? Thank you. Another leading light of the contemporary rebetika scene is musician, singer, and composer Vangelis Petrianotis, who, in addition to being a virtuoso bouzouki player, also works with other musical forms, including electronic music. I asked him what his relationship to rebetika music was.
Ξεκίνησα να ασχολούμαι με τη μουσική σε ηλικία 7 χρονών, όπου είχα σπουδές που αφορούσαν το πιάνο και τα θεωρητικά της μουσικής. Πήγα σε οδείο, από εκεί
απέκτησα μέχρι για τον 18ο studies at piano and theory, music theory, and I finished that at 18 years old. After that, I got in university where I studied bouzouki with three chords, which I studied for bachelor's degree, master's degree, and now as a doctorate, PhD. Before university, I didn't really listen to rebetika music, so I got introduced to it in university, which I owe to my professor, Lefteri Tsikouridi. What drew me to rebetika is its truth in its lyrics and directness, both in music and in lyrics.
Okay, Vangelis, you mentioned that you really responded to the truth and the directness of the lyrics of Greek rebetika. So what is the content, the lyrical content, which you find so meaningful? What is that specifically?
Αυτό έχει να κάνει με όλα τα θέματα που ασχολείται το ρεμπέτικο, αλλά ενδεικτικά θα αναφέρω κάποια, όπως είναι το ψεύτικος είναι ο Ντουνιάς.
Okay, this has to do with every lyric and every song in Rebetika, but I will mention in particular the songs Ψεύτικος είναι ο Ντουνιάς, the song Βαμβακάρης, and Portofoli, also from Βαμβακάρης. The case of Portofoli, it says in particular, in today's world, everyone knows this, the power of man is his wallet. It's something that is true through the ages, and he expresses it in a direct way. In the same sense, in the song, we have a very direct and everyday way of speaking to the lady that hurt him, and he ends up even saying, "Bit you embarrassed me in front of the priest and the vizier," basically in the entire community. Yeah, there's no niceness in his lyrics. He says exactly what he feels. Okay, in the song, the lyrics translate to "the world is fake, all of the world is fake, and all of our lives are fake. Since in the black earth, one day our bodies will lie." Those are the examples I would give for the lyrics being direct and true.
Excellent. These songs that you mentioned, I don't know specifically from what era of rebetika they're from, but how do you think audiences today relate to that kind of subject matter, that kind of music, that kind of song, those themes and those lyrics?
Το κοινό αντιδρά πολύ θετικά και το εκφράζει αυτή η μουσική.
The audience seems to react very positively to these lyrics, and they feel expressed by this. Since the financial and social issues that rebetika music usually touches upon and satirizes very often are still issues that are very important to people right now, they're issues that we all encounter still today. A very special feature is all the young people we see coming into the night clubs and shops and that, and love rebetika music. Here, I should mention that as a professor in rebetika music, rebetika music is also taught to children from the age of 12 years old. Very young children. In music schools, it's a subject that children can choose.
Great, thank you. So my next question is related to what you were just talking about, and that would be, what is the current condition of rebetika music in Greece today? Is it musical form which is about conservation, conserving a tradition, or are musicians seeking to evolve and advance and experiment within the form?
Συμβαίνουν και τα δύο, δηλαδή υπάρχει ένα κίνημα αναβίωσης του ρεμπέτικου γενικότερα, στα μουσικά καφενεία κυρίως, αλλά έχουμε και τις περιπτώσεις.
There's a movement of trying to bring back rebetiko music in its old form, usually in shops where mainly older people hang out to drink their coffee all day long. But we have many cases where songs from rebetiko music are remixed or re-recorded in other music forms. Thus, I think I could say that both happen, especially since we also have new songs in rebetiko music. I personally very recently wrote a new song, an orchestral song called Open Rust, Anichto Rust. It is available on all internet platforms like Spotify. Features from the way the bouzouki is played from older generations of rebetiko music. 1930s to 1940.
So what would be some of those characteristics that you mentioned? For instance, the song that you recently wrote, you say it contains some features and characteristics which still are recognizable from the golden age, from the 1930s and 40s of rebetiko music. What are some of those characteristics which have stayed constant?
Είναι καθαρά μουσικά χαρακτηριστικά πάνω στο μπουζούκι, στον τρόπο ερμηνείας δηλαδή. Και αυτά τα στοιχεία είναι οι ανοιχτές
and
κορδές.
These features are contain open chords. It's a term in music. So basically it has to do with open chords. The way I place my hand on the instrument and the way the classical guitar is also used in the song. The way that guitar usually accompanies bouzouki is very important, and it usually is minimalistic.
So, interesting. So there's it's about instrumentation and the instruments that are used and the tunings and so on. Are you currently working on rebetiko songs with other rebetiko musicians? Do you find there is a community of rebetiko musicians for to collaborate with and to make new music? Or is it a small group of people?
Αυτή τη στιγμή γράφω και άλλα τραγούδια.
At this point in time, I am writing new songs, both in a rebetiko style and in other forms of music, my own kind of music. About the community of rebetiko music today, this community keeps growing time throughout the entirety of Greece. More importantly, though, in Athens, and here we have to mention that the audience of this music is very attached to the music and follows up on the various artists. And social media have helped a great deal in keeping this community alive and growing it, since we can upload content from the concerts and everything that is happening in the clubs and all that through every social media. In any case, the community of artists working on rebetiko music is a very collaborating and attached to each other community, and they work very well together.
As well as doing rebetiko music, you're also making other kinds of music. So do you ever incorporate influences from rebetiko into your other kind of music and make a fusion, a crossover, and vice versa? Would you ever write a rebetiko song which has influences from other musical styles, from jazz or rock or other folk music styles?
Συμβαίνει μόνο το ένα από τα δύο. Προτιμώ στο ρεμπέτικο να μην αλλάζω κάτι και να μην εισάγω νέα στοιχεία.
Only one of the above happens. I prefer in rebetiko music not to add any more features from other kinds of music, respecting the way it was first performed. However, I use rebetiko music features in other forms of music, where I may be playing something in a rebetiko kind of style, but it may be accompanied by electronic music. I may have a loop from a rock rhythm, and above it, I may be making music, improvising, like I would do in a rebetiko song.
Interesting that you do some electronic music with influences from rebetiko. That's really interesting. But you're slightly purist in the way you interpret rebetiko music. Is that the case? You like to preserve the classic forms and ways of playing?
Επομένως, βάζω ερμηνευτικά στοιχεία του ρεμπέτικου.
I prefer indeed to preserve the tradition, adding characteristics, my own characteristics, but in the style of rebetika.
Here's a piece of Vangelis's music, When I See Your Eyes. From Portuguese fado to American blues, Argentine tango to Gypsy Roma musical traditions, musical forms emerged the world over to respond to the realities that life on the fringes of society, where skilled musicians marshal their creative resources to produce an aesthetic which renders the lived experience of difficult situations into a vibrant art form, which often continues to evolve once removed from the social context which originally produced it. Greek rebetiko is a specifically Greek manifestation of this general phenomenon. Its local characteristics owing much to the influx of refugees from Asia Minor and the cross-cultural exchange which took place in the areas where they settled. If you're interested to hear more music from any of the artists featured in this program, you can find their music on YouTube and Spotify. And the Rebetiko Carnival in London has its own website and Instagram handle. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time.
This has been host Joe Williams discussing Greek rebetika music with guest performers Despina Psatha, Andrea Antoniou, Manolis Tauxis, and Vangelis Petriniotis.
The Joe Show is executive produced by Trafica Europe Radio. Please sign up on our site, traficaeurope.org/go/radio, to stay informed about our upcoming shows. From all of us here at Trafica Europe Radio, thanks for listening.